is either her or me. So I elected her. A couple of you move this pulpit over there out of the way, and she's going to say something first. Okay, baby, here, I'll help you. It's on now.
Okay, so I haven't danced in a few years, but I guess I kind of got this idea from, I don't know, I was thinking about doing it for a while, but I guess I didn't really have much reason. So we had a couple of losses in our family and through my friends. And so I kind of wanted to dedicate this dance to my godmother, Janet Edwards, and her sister. Yeah, her daughter's right there. That's my sister. And I also wanted to dedicate it to Scott Tipton. And his son was one of my friends, but he passed away not too long ago. So this song talks about hope, and that was my whole reasoning for this, to let you guys know that, you know, there's always hope after everything. So, okay.
That's good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Little girls like to dance. You never notice that? I think, and then when the church or something doesn't give them a place, we rob them. You know? That's the reason I let all these girls up here dance. Because, notice we don't have any men dancing. Little girls like to dance. That's how they express themselves. And so it's a, praise is an expression of how we feel in our heart. So when, if we don't allow them to express themselves, then I think we rob them. And we need to let them to express themselves and use their talent, what they do. Amen. Bible says when you come together, you, everybody hath this and half of that, and everybody hath something. Everybody's got something. Amen. I like that. God's not through with it. Hope. You know, Bible hope and natural hope's different. It's not the same thing. Natural hope is you're just hoping something will happen. You're not sure if it will or not. I sure hope I get something for my birthday. You know, when you get a little older, it is a empty hope. I just hope somebody have mercy on me, buy me something. That's natural hope. I just hope to see you again, not knowing if you will or not. But Bible hope's totally different. Bible hope is expectation. It's expecting God to do what he said he would do. That's what Bible hope is. That's why faith won't stand alone. You just can't have faith. It won't stand alone. The Bible says you have to have love. Faith works through love. You have to have patience. You have to have hope. Abraham didn't have any hope, but he got his hope back. That meant he expected God to do what he said he would do, therefore he could have faith. He had to expect something to happen first. I have hope. That means God said he would do that. I expect that to happen. Therefore, I have faith it will happen. That's Bible hope. Amen? But faith won't stand alone. It's got to have hope. Then it has to have works. Your faith, Howard Pittman, you see, he was, you know, Howard, he died, a Baptist, come back to Pentecostal. He died, went to heaven, you know, and God sent him back, gave him that revelation of Satan's kingdom and shown how it worked. Lester Summerall said he knew more about demonology than any man alive. That's saying a lot. Lester said that because he wrote the books on demonology. And Lester had him in two or three times a year, had him in his Bible school, his church and everything. But he died. Well, his heart exploded, and he died, and he all that. When God in heaven, he sent him back to fulfill the commission on his life. Well, he come back, and he was in the hospital room, and after that, he was dying. He wasn't getting any better fast. Well, if you stand before God, and God sends you back to earth and gives you an assignment, you'd think he's going to heal you and, you know, send you back well and able to run. And Howard wasn't getting any better. And he sought God, and you know what God told him? Your faith is dead. In other words, you better get some faith working real fast, son. You didn't have any faith to be healed. Although God had commissioned him, and gave him an assignment and set him back to do it, gave him a vision and all that, still yet he was going to die and not fulfill it. He had to have faith. And we think, well, God's going to do this. No, God's a sovereign God, yes. And you can get into that sovereignty of God, but you have to have faith to get in there. you just the sovereignty of God won't work in your life without faith. You have to believe God, and you'll get over there in what in his sovereignty then. He said that he'll work for you. I don't care what how many prophecies you had. If Jesus himself appears to you and says all this and says you, and points his finger at you and says, you're going to be a wealthy man. And he leaves it up to you. Just because he told you that don't mean he'll come to pass. He gives you power to get wealth. That means he has hidden the potential. You have to find it. You have to uncover wealth. You have to get out there and look for it and find it. He gives you power or ability to get wealth. And you have to use your faith. You have to seek God. You have to have love, patience, hopes, and works. Then your faith will work. Then whatever he told you will come to pass. But just because he told you it happened doesn't mean it happened. It's his will that everybody be born again. But a lot more people going to hell than they are heaven. How come? Well, if he said, you know, well, you have to believe God. You have to hear the word. Well, that's sermon number one. That's a good one right there, buddy. You'll brag on me, I'll do better. Look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You know, we've been talking about why you're here on this earth. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why did God create man? What is man's purpose? And we pointed out some things. We say, you ask people, why did God create man? Most people say, well, he needed a family, and he did. And or they'll say he needed fellowship, and he did. Or he created us to praise him. And we are to praise him. But none of that really is what he told Adam to do. The first man that was created, he told Adam none of that. Did you know that? But he told Adam one thing, or two things. First of all, he said, now here's a garden. I want you to work. Amen. I want you to work. And I'm going to give you a helpmeet, a wife here, and I want you to repopulate the earth and subdue it and govern it and run the thing. And he put Adam in charge, gave him a job, put him in charge, gave him authority, said, you run this earth, and I'm going to give you, I created you in my image. I want a family, true. I want people who praise me, true. But I want a creation or a family or whatever you call it, want to call it, to govern with me. I want a family or my people who will govern with me. They'll be by my side running the show. That's not angel's job. He created man in his likeness and his image. And the likeness of man is in our flesh. His image is our spirit. You're not like God. Your likeness is not the perfect likeness of God. Which one of us does God look like? His likeness means we got a head, two arms, two legs, body like God. But our image is in the perfect image of God, which is spirit. And we have a spirit and we live in a body and we have a body. He said, no man has seen God at any time. But Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen him. So if you want to see God, you've got to see Jesus. God wanted a family, or he wanted a creation, And he wanted Adam and Eve to populate the earth, repopulate it, because Satan once ruled here. This was his domain. He ruled this part of the universe. He tried to overthrow God. You know that. 130 angels went to heaven. God threw him down. Threw him back down to the earth where he came from, where he started. For he said, I will exalt my throne above the heavens, above the stars. I will go up to the throne of God. And he tried to overthrow God, and God threw him down. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. In other words, Isaiah said he burned up going down. And he threw him back down to the earth. Well, he was here, and God created man out of the dirt, out of the earth. From dust you came, dust you'll return, your body, not your spirit. Your spirit wasn't created out of the dirt. Your spirit came from God. Your body came from the dirt, and it'll go back to that dirt. The earth belongs to man. It'll always be man's. You'll live here for eternity. Heaven's not your dwelling place. That's not the planet you will inhabit. That is a holding place until the earth, till God finishes what he's going to do, and he reestablishes everything and gives it us back the earth, and we'll run it. Our job, he wanted man to rule with him. No other creature, nothing's like man. That's why the angels looked into man when God created them, and David saw it, and he said, what is man? What is this? Who is this creature, this creation? There's nothing like him. The Bible says, Jesus thought it not robbery. He said, let this mind be in you. You have this same thinking. That Jesus said that he didn't consider it robbery. It'd be equal with God. Let that mind be in you. Now, we're not equal with God to the fact that we're God or we're on the same level or we're not equal with him like that. But what is man? What kind of love did God put upon us that we'd be called the sons of God? Nothing else is called that. Only man. So we're created to rule with him. That's our main job, is to rule. Jesus came, set things back right after Adam fell. Satan took it back away. Jesus came, got it back. Gave it back to man. Just like he did in day one in the garden, man had it. He lost it. Jesus came, took it back, gave it back to us. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. I give it back to you. Now you go finish what Adam started. But this time, Satan's the god of this world legally. But he said, in Satan's kingdom, in his world, he said, I'll have a kingdom. And I'll establish my kingdom, and I'll set it in the middle of his kingdom. And my kingdom and my people will run over him and take things back from him. And there's a battle every day for man. But Jesus' kingdom, or God's kingdom here on the earth, is called the church. From day one, we showed you Sunday, from day one, God had a plan to have a church. That's the original plan the whole time, to have a church. And this church would be the redeemed, the ones who were bought back and paid for. And I said, without Jesus dying and without the plan of salvation, no one, the universe, nothing would ever understood how much God loved. We know his love. He says his love. The angels know his love, but probably just everything takes it for granted. But there's could be no expression of how much he loves. And the greatest expression of love that was ever shown to mankind of the whole universe, of all of his creation, was the day he gave his son to die for man. And the Bible says the angels, in 1 Peter chapter 1, the angels look into the church in amazement. The redeemed. We are the redeemed. And for eternity, we'll sing the songs of redemption. The love of God that's been shown to man. God had a plan. He had to have a family. He had to have a redeemed. And there was absolutely no way of having it unless man fell. Jesus had to come and die for the family, but he had to be a man. But before Jesus could be a man, there had to be a man. And God created a man. And man reigned for 4,000 years. And the mystery of was hid in the Old Testament, and it was expressed in everything they did, in the temple, the sacrifices, everything. It pointed to Jesus, spoke of Jesus, declared Jesus, but nobody knew what it was. Then Paul got it and he said, this is the mystery that was hidden from the ages. What mystery? The church. See, when we get there in rulership in eternity, the church will hold a position that no other man will hold. None of the Old Testament saints, none of them, will have the position the church will have. You don't know how fortunate you are to be in the church, to be his chosen one, his called out ones, his anointed, his privileged one, his special people that will rule with him. We still don't understand it. We still don't grasp it. If everybody did, you couldn't put them in this building. Every church, anything said it was a church would be full. But man doesn't understand it. Satan has done a good job of hiding it from man, to hide it. But thank God for those who seek it out and look for it and find it. Our Father. I think 10 times in the Old Testament, Father is mentioned. In the New Testament, 900 times, Father was mentioned. Father. How could he be declared Father if he never had a creation, his man? He created his image and his likeness and turned everything over to us. He turned it all over to us. That's why Jesus does not get involved in the affairs of man unless we ask him. He said, now listen, I'm going to leave it all up to you, but I know you're not capable of it, but I'm going to give you a helper. Now you go run it, you go rule, and you go into the world and make disciples of nations, and you make converts. See, and you rule and you take authority and you establish my kingdom wherever you go, and I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and I will seal you with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee or a down payment of what's to come. And he said, he'll be your helper. Now you go do it. You go heal people. You go get people saved. If you retain their sins will be retained. If you dismiss their sins will be dismissed. And if you need help, holler. But you do it. Here's the church sitting around. I wish the Lord would do something. I wish Jesus would help us. I wish, look at our nation, what a mess it's in. Well, how'd it get in that mess? The church let it get in that mess. Here we are, like Howard Pittman said, the angel showed him that it's like a drowning man syndrome. Satan's plan is to get us so involved like a man drowning. A man drowning can't save another drowning man. So we're fighting for our life, trying to stay above water, working three jobs and fighting everybody in a hurry to get somewhere and don't even know where we're going. Don't even know when we get there. We leave mad and on the road mad. We get there, we're mad. Our life's stressed out. We're having heart attacks and falling over and everything. Messed up, you know, and Jesus said, you're in charge. Charge of what? Well, first of all, yourself. That you would rule and reign through one Christ Jesus. You would rule and reign. Luke says we should be able to possess our own soul. He said, put off the old man, put on the new man. Take authority over yourself. Take authority over your mind. Discipline yourself. Be a disciple. First of all, he said, when you get born again, like that drill sergeant said, you know, you're not worth anything, but you got to be torn down. Then I got to remake you into a war machine in the church. But first thing he said, when you come into this kingdom, you have to deny yourself. And you have to be trained. And you have to be reprogrammed. You have to have some things downloaded. You got to think totally different than how you thought. And all that's in the church. And we say, well, we don't know how to do that, Lord. He said, I know you don't. But he said, I've got fivefold ministry. And I've worked on them, and I've trained them. As Hebrews says, they're called out from man and trained by God to preach to man. All God's ministers go through what all kind of stuff. Whatever their calling is, whatever their office is, whatever their position is, God calls them out, puts them on the backside of the desert in the wilderness forever how long it takes. And he trains that apostle, that prophet, that evangelist, that pastor, and that teacher. He schools them and trains them in the Holy Ghost. Then he says, now you go teach my people. And Hebrews chapter 13 says, you better be a good student. Or you will give an account to God for whether or not you're a good student. And so our job is to train the saints. For what? That we would train the saints to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. But how you going to train people that don't show up? See, we got this whole thing about church wrong. Well, it's just, we just go to church. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amazing grace. And, you know, 30 minutes, almost time to eat, almost 12 o'clock. I'm getting hungry after church, so let's have before 12. Didn't you know that, Pastor? We have to be out here. You don't even know what you're here for. Well, we've lost what the church is. Now, the young generation come along, and we think, well, we got to get the world, so we'll act like the world, dress like the world. We play music like the world. We have smoke, and we'll smoke lights, and ding, 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 just like a carnival or a sideshow. And everybody shows up to be the big, so what's the big noise? Oh, this is what the world likes. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, and thousands come. You can do that in over the Walmart parking lot, get 1,000 people. Then we call it a church. That is not a church. And unlike the church. Well, that's what we think. We don't have the Holy Ghost. We've left Him, and we've left the direction of God, and we've left, and so we have to do something. Because we don't have the Holy Ghost helping us, we have to do something to get a crowd. So this is what we do. You know, this is how they do it down, you know, in other nations down south. And so we just get a big crowd and we just build a church on music. Where's that in the Bible? And Jesus said, now, you go down and you wait for the promise from heaven and, you know, something will fall on you and y'all will be musicians. And you'll all start playing in the band and you'll make a big noise and all the people will come. I don't think so. He said, you'll get the Holy Ghost and you start preaching with power. And the Holy Ghost will confirm the word with signs following. But we've left that to church. It's for one thing, to mature the saints. These things belong to those who are full age, Hebrews chapter 5. To a full age. What the? You see, you're training now to rule for eternity. You're in school. Everything you do and what you're called to do, you'll do it here on earth, but you do it here on earth as OJT, on-the-job training. You think, well, I'm just going to live here on earth and then I'm going to die, just go to heaven and lay around. You better get out your Bible and find out. You're here now. Why do you think of Judgment Day? What do you think that's about? It's not judgment seat, it's reward seat. It's where you get your assignment for eternity. First of all, for 1,000 years. Then after that, for the rest of eternity. You're going to be working. We're going to be ruling this planet and the universe. It belongs to man. God gave it to us. We don't know how to run anything, especially for God. Man don't know how to run anything for God. You know, here's what the problem was when Adam and Eve ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, they already knew good, but they found out what evil was. And here's what man does. See, if you look at liberals, now here's liberals. Liberalism is an antichrist spirit. Straight up, straight out, and all around. It's an antichrist spirit. But liberals, they say they're good, and they think they are. They won't take care of people. They want all the, people from illegal aliens coming, and everybody get, and that sounds real good. And you think, well, and old Bernie's going to have socialism and just give everybody everything free, and we're going to, that sounds real good. But you see, the problem of it is, it's man's goodness. We left God, and we don't care what God thinks about the thing, or how he'd rule, or what he does, and we never even seek God and see how God would want to rule a nation, or how God would want to rule a city, or how God would want to rule. We got man's goodness. And man's goodness within itself and leaving God out is evil. It's just as bad as the evil part of that tree. It's man thinking he knows how to govern himself. Satan said, you don't need God to tell you what to do. If you'll eat that, you'll be just like him. You can make your own decisions. You'll know good and evil. And you don't even have to go to God. You can just make all your decisions. And that's what we do. That's why America's in a mess it's in. We quit reading this Bible. We quit reading Romans chapter 1 to find out what happens to man when he knew God and leaves God. And God gives him over to a reprobate mind. And we don't even know what happens to us when we're under a reprobate mind, empty mind. Then we get somebody running for president, and I don't understand this. This guy's running for president's got a husband. Well, does that make him a wife? Well, if he's a wife, if he wins, will he be the first female president? I mean, I don't understand it. Is he the wife or the husband or the husband or the wife, or do they have two husbands? That's called a reprobate mind. It don't make sense. You say, well, you're just against. Listen, I'm not against anything. I'm for the Bible. If you ask me, I don't care what they do. It don't matter to me. You'd get along good, you know, at my judgment seat. Just give me a little salad. Sob story, and I said, well, bless your little heart. You know, I feel sorry for here. Here's $5. Go to McDonald's. but I'm not God. My opinion matters not. That's what happened. And our government's messed up, you know. Men dressing like women don't even know what bathroom to go in. And they're teaching it in school, teaching our kids that stupid stuff. Now everything's upside down, inside out. They're turning prisoners out of prison. They won't even charge them for a crime. Yeah. That's when man thinks he has the ability to rule without God. Human good. Within itself is evil in the eyes of God. And Jesus said, I turn this over to you. And that's true. You remember when Jesus came to the temple and he said, I've called this to be a house of prayer and you have made it. Well, you can make it anything you want to. You can make your business anything you want to. Even though you're called by God, full of the Holy Ghost, God, you can make it anything you want to. You don't have to give God one bit of credit, one bit of glory, one bit of attention. You don't even have to name the name of God. He'll leave you alone. You can do that in church. You don't have to have God, the Holy Ghost, to build a big church. That's been proven all across America. You can make it anything you want to make it. You can make your family anything you want to make it. But God will stand back, or Jesus will, and say, you're in charge. You can make anything you want. But then here's somebody come along and say, I don't want to do what I want to do. What do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to rule and reign? Well, here's the blueprint, son. I'm going to have some help here. I can't do that. I give you the Holy Spirit. Now you go. You'll make a lot of mistakes. That's all right. I'll help you. I'll get you up. Just ask me to forgive you. And when you need holler, Holy Ghost, help. I don't know what to do here. Help me. Help me. He won't do it for you. He'll help you do it. You can be blessed financially. You can be all, but you have to do it. But we think we just get saved and go on in vacation until Jesus comes. Well, the reward day is coming. That day that your assignment. Let's look at some scriptures to prove my point. Where did I say go? To Luke chapter 19. Well, I meant to say 19. I think I said 19. Y'all just can't hear. Maybe I didn't get the teen out. Verse 12. And a certain nobleman went to the country to receive for himself a kingdom and returned. Jesus said, now this is where the kingdom of God is. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas or talents in Matthew 25, it says, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And he came to the first, saying, Master, your money has earned 10 times. And he said to him, well done, good servant. This is the reward seat. Well done, because you were faithful. And the very little things, you can have authority over 10 cities. Because you were faithful in this life, you took what I gave you, you took your talent, you took your calling, you took your ability, whether it's a housewife, whether it's an electrician, whether it's a carpenter, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a whatever, you took what you had in my kingdom on the earth, and you were faithful. Now then, at the judgment seat, come here, you well done, good and faithful servant. Enter, Matthew says, 25, enter into the joy of the Lord and the rest of the Lord, and I'm going to let you rule 10 cities. that's coming. You're here in school now, honey. Most Christians can't even find the church. I don't want you to have to go to church for. We are the church. Yeah, you are. Then he had another servant. You know that. And the second he came and said, here's five. He said, well done. I'm going to let you rule five cities. And you know the last guy. He said, you know, I heard what kind of man you was, and I went and hid mine and buried it. And you've come back. Here's what you called me to do, Lord. Well, I called you to pastor. Where's the church? Well, Lord, you know, I just never could get started. I called you to be a businessman and give money to the church and help the church and help the church grow, help the pastor to reach mission fields and do all that. I know, Lord, but, you know, I can never could get out of debt. He said, you late, and you read it in the Amplified or New Living. He said, you wicked, slothful, good-for-nothing servant. That's that little tiptoe through the tulips Jesus weeping. I don't think so. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Are you out there? We are the body of Christ. Every joint should supply. Every joint should supply. God called me to preach. Gave me a vision. I want to help people. I want to help missions. I want to do all that. It takes money. He didn't call me to work two jobs and pastor two. He called me to study and preach and you to work and give the money. Well, I ain't giving that preacher no money. Well, you don't have to. It's your life. You're an authority. You don't have to. You don't have to give them nothing. You don't even have to go to church. You don't have to do nothing. But there's coming a day. He said, what'd you do with what I gave you? You know. Yeah, you know. I'm helping you, you know, right now. What did I say? Revelation 2, chapter 26. I mean, verse 26. See, well done, good and faithful servant. And you who overcome and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over nations. He's talking here to the church. You studied that. To him who overcomes life. What do we have to overcome? Let me tell you the biggest thing you have to overcome in this world. You. You. When you say, I don't want to go, I don't want to do, I don't want to give, I don't want to help, I don't want to help build the church, I don't want to help build the kingdom, I don't want to. If you overcome, I will let you rule nations. Wow. You mean there's going to be nations? Yes. Matthew 25 says he is going to divide up the nations in the millennial reign. There will be sheep nations and goat nations. He'll get rid of the goat nations. That's where it's talking about. If you read Matthew 24, go on over in there where people never could understand it. One, there were two on the roof, and one was taken and one was left. There was two in the field, one was taken and one was left. And we think that's the rapture. No, that's after the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back to the earth. He takes all the unbelievers off the earth. All the unbelievers are taken off the earth. We go into the millennial reign with nothing but believers. Natural human beings. That's why there'll be a lot of people born in the millennial reign. There'll be thousands of people. And there'll be a utopia. I hope old Bernie's here. We'll show him how it's supposed to work. Be a utopia. Perfect peace, perfect health, perfect. And what are we going to do? We're going to clean this earth up. We're going to burn all this junk, tear everything up. We're going to be, some of us, you know, that was faithful now, did exactly what he said to do now. We worked hard now because judgment says you'll be judged according to your works. What did you do with what I gave you? All these scriptures trying to tell us. He says, all right, you're going to rule 10 cities. All right, you're going to be the head of that street. I don't know what we'll do, but thank God it'll be good. Man is made to work. That's the first thing God told him to do. Who wants to go to heaven, sit around on a cloud, or sit under a shade tree for 1,000 years? Dear Jesus, help me. I used to think about that. I said, dear God, that's boring. You won't be bored with Jesus. He works. But we enjoy it. He said we enjoy the works of our hands, our labor. We have Ecclesiastes said we enjoy it. And we'll have opportunity. Amen. Then I'll let you rule nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed into pieces like the potter's vessel. Amen. All right, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. You put that up. You don't have to turn there. We can read it on the board, okay? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you see that? The saints will judge the world? Well, he goes on to say here, he's telling this also over in Matthew 18. He said, I don't understand you, Paul said. I don't understand you people. Don't you know you're going to judge the world? You can't even judge a small matter in the church. You know why is that? Because we don't judge things in love. We're selfish. I ain't giving them nothing. I'm not giving in. He cheated me out of $2. Well, you're not going to rule nothing. What can you rule? You've proven yourself in ever how long a time you had here on the earth. Jesus, I can't do it. I don't want to do it, and I'm not going to do it. Well, you'll be in heaven, that'd be good, but you'll work for me. I said, get over and get that piece. Are you out there? I'm telling you what the Bible says. You can make your own mind. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Do you not know that you shall judge angels? How much more are these things pertaining to this life? Now, he's not talking about judging angels now. He's not talking about judging the world now. We're not in judgment. We're the body of Christ now. The body of Christ, the body does the work. The head gives the direction. We're being under submission to Jesus, under submission to the body, under submission to the pastor, under submission to whoever. We're being trained. Amen. All right. I had Matthew 25, but let's see what Matthew 24 says. I got down here, it's got to be good. Matthew 24, verse 45 and 47. Yeah. says, therefore, be ready for the Son of Man's coming when the hour you least expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household. Here. And to give them food in due season. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, I'm getting tired of this. I don't want to do it anymore. Don't go to church anymore. I want to backslide. I don't want to give anymore. I want to live my life and have a good time. Well, it says on down there, knock yourself out. Revelation 21. That good preaching. Why did God create us? Why did he make man? To rule and reign with him for eternity. We hold a position that no creed, creation, no creature, anything, and the all of his creation holds. He didn't just create us because he needed somebody to worship him. Angel, he got millions of angels who worship him. He's not an egotistical God that needs us to bow down and worship him. We worship him because we love him. That's how we love him. He didn't make God just for fellowship. Naturally, he wants fellowship. He wants a family. He's our father. But he made us to sit with him, to rule with him, to take this earth and run it. That's what he started with Adam. Go back to the original intent of man. He never changed his mind. The original intent for making man, give him a job and you rule. See, he made one man. Then it's up to us to create babies. And he said, I know Abraham. I can trust him. I can make company. He will teach his children after me. Those children are taught after God. We have the privilege of loving our family like God loves a family. We have a privilege of men and loving our wives like Jesus loves the church. We have a privilege as sons and daughters in the family to honor their father and mother like we're supposed to love and honor God. See, all of that points to God. Everything in nature screams of God. And he give us that. He give a family to know his responsibility and to know the love and to understand the heart of God when we have children. No matter what they do, where they go, how bad they mess up, they're always our son or daughter. They'll never quit being our child. We'll never quit loving them. Same way God is with us. What could my daughter do or granddaughter do to make me ever disown them or not love them? Nothing. And the more they mess up, the more I want to help them. The more they mess up, the more I love them. The more they mess up, the more I want to give to them. Come here. That's our Father. We see him like that. No other creation, no other creature has that privilege. We do. In his image. Then he puts us in a church. We love one another and help one another and share with one another and grow together and speak the truth in love. Amen. That's why he created us. And we say, I don't know how, Lord. He said, I'm going to grow you up. I'm going to teach you. So every what lifespan he gives us here, every bit of it's a training period. I don't know how many he needs to be in his family. I don't know how many sons and daughters he needs. He needs a certain amount. Because the book of Galatians, Paul said, when the last Gentile is saved, he'll come. I don't know where the last Gentile is, but they'll go get him. There's a certain amount. God, if you study God about judgment and everything, the cup has to be full. It's the fullness of God. I don't know what that is, where it is, but he knows. He's building it. Jesus said, I will build my church. And when he gets through, he's coming. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and first heaven and first earth passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away all their tears from their eyes. See, that is after the millennial reign, when he creates the new earth and new heaven, and he comes then to dwell with us on the earth. The new Jerusalem comes down. Then we'll be the bride. Now we're the body. How can you be the body and the bride? No man ever yet married himself. Of course, just wait in America. That's probably coming next. That's not talking about, that's talking about in relationship. Now in relationship, we're the body. We work with him as a body. But then, when the work's done, we finished, then we'll be come along beside like a wife adorned for her husband. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, there's great things coming. Jesus has been 6,000 years building this church to where we're at today. Dispensation, we're in the sixth dispensation, periods of time, where he brought something new, he established, he built. 6,000 years to where you're at. People have died and lost their lives, paid a tremendous price that you'd have this Bible. And here we are at the last day. The only thing we can get it right for, I want to get it right for me, just me. Just do what I'm supposed to do. Do it with all my heart, all my soul. He said, give these to those who are faithful. That's all you'll be judged for, faithful. If you're faithful in the little things, then you'll rule much. Luke 16. Amen? So every time you make a faithful commitment to come to church, every time you make a faithful commitment to pay tithes, give off, God don't need our money. I mean, he set this thing up to where it works by money. He didn't have to do that. He could have done it any way. He did that to teach you something. He did that to train us. You know, give our life to God. Lay down our life. Every time we give an offering, we're laying down our life. That's so many hours you got in that. He's training us, teaching us. Getting our faithfulness, getting our heart, and every time we make a decision to love, when we could get mad and get upset and get offended, we make a decision, I'm going to love and I'm going to pray for my enemy. You're making progress, coming to maturity. Well, stand up. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of that? You didn't. I almost quit. I've got two tickets up here. It says communion pass. Just thought I'd let you know. That's up Doc Barclay's. I had it in my pocket evidently, and I'm throwing them down. I don't know what that is. I thought you might like to know that. Praise the Lord. God's not wasting your time. I'm telling you, many more scriptures. You're being trained to rule this planet, this universe, this place, and all of God's creation belongs to man. The earth belongs to man. And we don't know how to rule it, but he's training us. See, your life, no matter how long it is or short it is, you were trained in that period of time. On that day, you'll go to heaven, you'll sit and wait for the judgment, wait for the reward seat, and he'll hand out your assignment. And he'll look, and he says, and he'll judge us by our works. So we're judged by our works. Well, why would there be a judgment if we're just going to heaven? I mean, if we're just going to heaven, just all of us show up in heaven. What need to be judged for? I made it. That's good enough for me, Lord. Don't need to be judged. I made it. So why are we being judged if we're just going to heaven? No, my brother and sister. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last few verses, 50 on through there. Talks about there's one glory of the sun, the moon, and all that's talking about our rank in eternity, our position. Father, we thank you tonight. You're helping us, Lord, to understand what this thing's all about. You're not just wasting our time. You just didn't call it church. You set up marriage, Lord. You set up the family. You set up the church. You set up a thing dealing with money. You set up leadership. You set up authority. You set up submission. Everything you did according to Romans chapter 1, all of nature speaks of God and his creation. If we look, we can see what it's all about and what's coming. You're training us, Lord. Every time we overcome, how many times did you tell the church in Revelation to overcome? He that overcomes will sit with me. He that overcomes will rule me. He that overcomes. That's why you put us in a battle. That's why you gave us an enemy to fight, to win, to build spiritual muscles, to know how to rule, to know how to take charge, to know how to get a hold of something, make it work, and take the Holy Ghost and bring him into anything and take charge and develop and plant and make things work. Works in everything, every job, Lord, every promotion, every raise, everything works that way. Everything speaks of you. Blessed be the name of our God who built his church. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm in the church. Lord, I don't know what position I'll hold in eternity, but I want something to do. I'm not working for nothing. I'll tell you that now. I am not working for nothing. I want to be in charge. I want to rule with you, reign with you, have position with you, talk with you, and work with you forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for blessing these people. Give them strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I love you. Praise the Lord. God bless you.